Yeah, hey, it's Survivor's Remorse time. You know we're all about the cash. That's why we got Erica Ash. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That you never made a name for yourself, a master what they had you labeled as a king.
I'm gonna shout out Jay-Z one time.
We used to pretend to be jamming. Y'all be on a skip down there. We over kicking it.
Sing it, Erica.
Erica Ash on the mic.
For each other, so I find you and hold you down.
Miss Tinsay!
Yeah!
I feel lost.
Back up. They don't love you like I love you.
Okay.
Step down. They don't love you like I love you.
Okay.
Can't you see it?
Yes, what's going on? As you know, we are.
Come on now. Where two or three black people are gathered together, harmony shall be in the mix.
Shonda. Right. Shonda. Sound right. Man.
Listen.
Hey.
I don't like
go. Hey. Okay. Hey, what's going on, party people out there? This is a Survivor's Remorse after show. We are covering episode 3, the thank you note. Before we get started, we got a special guest. You might have seen her in Real Husbands of Hollywood, Scary Movie 5, or all over Instagram, of course. But let's introduce the Erica Ash in the building. What's going on? Thank you for joining us. Erica Ash plays M. Chuck on the show, of course. But I'm your host, Jimmy V, and my panel.
What's up, you guys? You know, it's me, your girl, Trinae. We're out here. You know, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at your girl, Trinae.
It's your other girl, Shaprentice Lynn. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaprentice Lynn with two N's.
That is one of my most hated intros here at the buzz.
It's your girl.
It's your boy. Because I am Gary Thomas. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, all that good stuff at I am Gary Thomas.
And of course, my tag at Be Your Own Dad. Make sure you follow me across all boards. If you're just tuning in, though, we just finished up the interview with Alan Maldonado, of course, so go check that out. But we got the Erica Ash here, okay?
Shout out to Survivor the Morris showing us love.
That's your girl.
Your girl.
It's your girl. That's the Erica Ash.
It's like 100 people after us that do that, and it irritates me every time.
But you know what? My Twitter is your girl,
really
Trinae.
Right. It's right. Like really your it goes for you.
I ain't even gonna lie. I'm like, yo, it's your boy, Taylor Shay. What up, y'all? But yeah, let's get right into it. So, thank you, I think it's safe to say girls pay attention to the littlest details.
Not that deep. Right. That was a little much.
I didn't know all those
That's
rules.
Her character.
It is, but now I'm...
It's her character. That's how she is in everything.
Right.
She's just meticulous.
Very particular. Right.
So as the episode starts off, you guys are shooting off some guns, killing some, what are they called?
Feathers.
I never even heard of
feathers.
That.
Feathers. They have feathers.
Was that your first time shooting a gun?
No. I come from a family of gun toters.
Okay.
My dad kept guns all around the house. I'd be sitting in the office doing my homework. He's got his rifle, like, cabinet. And he's got like a row of rifles. He had one in the, in his nightstand, my mom's nightstand. With like, my grandfather was a sheriff, so he had guns all over the place. Lots of people in my family in the police force on my dad's side. So, a very gun conscious family. And I learned to shoot guns when I was a kid.
So,
like Beyonce did on Lemonade, that song "Daddy's Little Girl."
Yeah.
Shout out to me.
Don't track me.
She's down.
She with the beehive.
I am so in the beehive.
We got to have bees all under.
Oh man!
Yes, that's why I did After Buzz.
Hey, I like that.
Leave your bees in the comments below.
Exactly.
So the real character we see on screen, M. Chuck, is loud. I mean, she obviously speaks her mind. You, I feel like, are the same exact way. What would you say is the main difference between who you are and the character that you play on screen?
The sexual preference.
Okay, so,
really
she's
is,
straight,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I'm straight, and, she's not. But other than that, we're very, very similar. And I think, I do think that I'm a little bit more controlled with the way that I say things. But in terms of saying whatever's on my mind, I'm definitely that person. I've always had to be reeled in. Ever since I was a little girl, my parents would be so embarrassed. Because, you know, as preacher's kids, you're expected to have a bigger moral compass and sort of know what to say and what not to say and what, you know, situations. And I knew what not to say. I just didn't feel led to not say it. So I would say it.
Because I didn't give a F.
Yeah, you know, in the name of Jesus. Right. I always say a smiley face or, you know, like adding God to things just makes it easier. Like, God, you get on my nerves. Oh, God, that's bad.
I used to do the same thing right now, buddy. Acting wise, what made you get into acting?
I fell into it. Actually, I was supposed to be a doctor. Serious business. My parents sent me to everything extracurricular was all around being a doctor and being in the medical field. So everything was math and science. And then I went to Emory University and I was in the pre-medical program. And I finished early because I was a big nerd. So I finished by my sophomore year. So I kind of had my junior and senior year to think. And that's where the problem started creeping in. It's like, wait, I've got freedom and, freedom of
Something's
choice.
Something's not right
I don't feel comfortable in this whole medical thing. And so I just decided to take a break to clear my head. And I ended up going overseas for a year. And it was during that year that I fell into a background singing gig. And then someone saw me there and thought that I was pretty and thought I should model. Fell into a modeling gig. Someone saw me there and thought that I should ringside announce. And then I kept ping-ponging back between these different fields that were not medicine related at all. And I ended up with acting and I was like, I like it here.
You're good there.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. And you get to be creative.
Exactly. I get to be creative. And I feel like I am healing because, you know, one of the biggest things in every medical internship that I had, whether it was hospital administration, OBGYN, or just, you know, like surgeries, I did an internship with a cardiologist that everything was, laughter was a huge, prescription. Mm-hmm. So they would have, the medicine they would take. You definitely have to get surgery if you needed it. But they would say, just try to keep yourself in a happy place. Like, stress is, leads to all of these different, issues that you would have that would cause you to need to go and see the doctor. So I feel like I've just found my own sort of non-traditional path to medicine, and I provide the laughter that keeps people from getting sick.
There you go.
Right.
It seems like you found a path to creativeness a little bit later in life, but there's so many people now who are scared because they're getting older and they weren't just the dancer from 5 years old.
Right.
How would you tell people who are kind of finding their way later on in their 20s about being an actor or a singer and things like that? How would you give them advice about finding their way?
I feel that, I look at the example of Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman didn't get his first break until he was, 40.
Yeah.
And after that, it was boom, boom, boom. I think the same thing happened for me. I had friends who started at 5 years old, and they went to this school and that school, and and they're still, trying to get acting jobs now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if it's for you, it's for you.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt to try. But you could spend your life planning a time to try or giving yourself reasons not to try, but you're never going to know until you just fully dive in. So dive in.
Yeah.
That's right.
If that's
not
for you, then I think, a well-intentioned dive into this will at least lead you somewhere else. Because I had all the best intentions when I decided I didn't want to do medicine, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I had all the best intentions to go to Japan. I was like, I'll just, I'll teach English because, I know English. And they don't. How wrong did I be?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm still doing something.
Right. I'm doing something. And so I went in it with good intentions and an open mind and heart. And I did that. And I thought that that's what I was going to be doing. And then turns out it didn't even happen. I was led literally in the orientation where they train you and tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to someone and I was talking to him and he stopped me while we were talking mid-conversation. He said, you sound like you sing.
And we continued into that conversation. I was like, you know, I sing in choirs. My dad was a preacher, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, you know, I'm a part of a band. One of the background singers dropped out. Would you be interested in maybe meeting the band? It
literally Look at that. Everything like that. Happens for a reason. I say that all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like so completely not related as well. So my advice to them would be just to say yes to everything. Because you're, I think your dharma finds you.
Right.
Your dharma is your life's purpose. So that it finds you, and all you have to do is just be and, you know, be open.
So talk to us about these Broadway days. You spent some time on Broadway?
I did, actually. I did four shows that you might know. I did The Lion King. I played Nala.
Of course.
Come on, The Lion King. Damn, Scar.
That was not my role. I just like doing that. And then I did Spamalot. And I played Lady of the Lake, which was Sara Ramirez's role that she won her Tony for. And then I played Dionne Warwick and one of the Shirelles, Mickey, for Baby It's You. And I played Nina Simone for a show called Soul.
Oh. I'm really happy to hear that because I was not happy with the choice that they chose for the actual film.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I love her, but that was just terrible.
I don't love her. I don't hate her. I don't have any, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's not personal is what I'm saying.
Right.
Right.
But what I do know, the history of Nina Simone. I was very meticulous in studying her character and getting to know who she was so that I could portray her very authentically, and she was not that.
Yeah, you know what's funny was I had seen like four people that someone suggested would play it, and I think I want to say I seen your face.
Oh, really?
I want to say I did.
Well, that's a blessing. We actually did. That's a funny story.
So let's just get together and we shoot a short real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to send that out.
Quick story about that is that we were doing the show down in Miami before we went. That one was off Broadway. We were doing a show down in Miami before we went off Broadway, and we didn't have all the rights to the songs that we were using in the show. So her daughter got wind of it and came down with her family to shut our show down. And the producer came to me backstage, and he was like super nervous. He was like, you know what, okay, so listen, there's this one song that you've been singing in the show that we're not really supposed to sing, so why don't we just not sing that? I said, no, absolutely not. We're going to do the show as written, because I just feel like we should. We did the show, and afterwards her daughter came backstage, and she cried, and we just stood there, and we hugged each other, and she said, you know, I really wanted to shut this down, but, you know, I've not seen anyone portray my mother the way that you did. And she said, I have one note for you. She's like, when my mother would come out, she would just touch the piano before she sat. And I was like, dang it, because I did that every show except that one. But I felt really, really good. And her granddaughter was there with her, and she came and she hugged me. And she just, I felt really, really good giving that to them, and also like having that for myself. It was good. It was nice.
That's great.
Well, let's get Erica Ashen for next Nina Simone. Can we do that?
Right.
People,
right, like,
hello,
can we pick
who we need to call?
Yeah. They don't love her like I love her.
I vouch. So this whole episode, of course, your character M. Chuck begins her therapy sessions, and I feel like ever since the start of the season, there's so much things that has occurred, and she's just kind of pushed those to the side. Well, let me ask you guys first. Do you think her going to therapy is going to make a big impact on her relationship with everybody else with the cast?
Yeah. I mean, you noticed that she was very, like, honest on how she felt about her whole situation. It's going to be interesting to see what her talking about her feelings is going to help her in interacting with everyone. It kind of just seems like she's, throughout this time, been just observing everything and being, and we take her sarcasm for funny, but it could be some underlying stuff in there that we just finally are now going to figure out. So
I feel like it already has. You already see like a different vibe with M. Chuck, her being softer, her being, you know, more emotional, and I feel like the humor has been a cover up. I think we all have seen that for what was already there. And if we've seen the past few episodes last season, we kind of already saw this kind of happening. But then she had therapy last season, right? I'm missing this. No, we were talking about
supposed
therapy.
To go.
Yeah. Yeah. But she never went.
Like she went.
Yeah. So, and we saw how she was struggling there. So it's like, I think something's going to come up with this. I think we're going to find out who her dad is and find out those daddy issues. And
I think that this season they're finally allowing us to fall in love with this character. Like, you know, you have characters that you really relate to.
Yeah.
I think they're bringing out so many more human qualities of her that it's allowing us to see so much more. So I think the therapy is going to allow us to just continue to love her and like, oh, forget about Cam. This is not my favorite character. Yeah, there's people who will be like, this is my favorite character. I'm watching a show for M. Chuck because of these things. And the therapy is going to allow the character to evolve more.
Which I did like how they did say a few examples. She was struggling with the mom's boyfriend, periods, Boston accent.
Mom, like three or four times.
Sister, right? But all of those are things that we all can relate to at some point in life. Were any of those true based on your actual life, of course?
The period, which is actually that was actually a riff. I actually added that in.
I was going to say, how did you prepare for this monologue, this whole speech?
Well, like, first of all, they wrote out an amazing monologue for me, Mike O'Malley and his team, amazing, amazing staff writers that we have. And then we did it one time as written, and then he said, now go.
Wow.
So I just started talking about all the things that I personally,
that's what's up, though.
Hate.
Wow,
you know, as of course I said it as M-Chuck, but they're like kind of things that I was just thinking of. And I literally, I riffed for 15 minutes.
Wow, that's
like just straight, like back to back things that I hated, and like at the end, everybody was like, and I couldn't tell if they were doing that because I like came up with stuff or like it's like that much stuff I hated. You know what I mean? But we just really went in, and so they kind of he cut and spliced and used a combination of both things. Yeah. And actually, the period thing was something that I pitched at the beginning because we have a time where we can go into the writer's room and like talk. And I was like, you know what, girls need to know. Girls need to know. That when they sleep, they need to wear Depends. Seriously.
I don't know what that means, girls.
Like you're a diaper. Because
a diaper?
When I go to sleep, you know, at that time, I never sleep very well.
Yeah.
Because I'm always worried about something leaking.
Right.
I have to wake up in the middle of the night, check my sheets, make sure everything's okay. You know, and when you go to the restroom, it takes twice or three times the amount of time.
Yeah.
Right? Because you got to, like, clean up. Change up, clean up, go back to bed.
And you're trying to avoid the light.
Right? And then sometimes you can, and then you gotta flip the light on. But listen, if you wear Depends, it's like pull-ups. Take that sucker off, put on another pull-up, go to bed.
Wow. Gotcha. And it's not the sexiest thing, but it works.
But let me tell you.
Yeah.
Guys don't care.
They don't.
Right. Now, one thing we do actually
hearing
see...
that crushing noise under the sleep. In this... you try to get comfortable.
The alternative is you can sleep on the couch. I guarantee guys will cuddle.
They'll cuddle.
But
we can't, babe, we can't sleep on the couch. But we're going to sleep on it tonight, so...
Now,
you might want to.
Yeah.
One thing we do actually see... You just came in loud.
Sorry.
Hey.
I just adjusted my mic.
Hey. Well, what's up?
Was that a lot? I just
coming in loud and clear now. Nah. One thing we do see on this episode is Mama, aka Cassie, she starts up the podcast, and obviously things went left when that started.
Can I just say, because it ties into this, how much I could not stand what's her face this whole episode.
The girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
First of all, they gave her way too much makeup. I don't know why.
First of all, she says so boring, and it just continues on in this whole episode. Y'all know how I felt about Allison. I'm not crazy.
What happened?
I was so for Tandy last season. I was like, Allison, yeah, but this season, I'm just like, man,
so you'd rather
really do without you.
So you'd rather have him have the female that gave him the disease?
She was a little funnier.
She was just a little bit more comical.
Older, you know? And fine.
If we're going to have these significant others come in, we got to be funny. Bob was funny.
Well, you know, everyone's got their favorites. Awkward turtle. I don't know. Which way am I swimming? I don't know.
But you know what? To piggyback off what Mary Charles said about not liking Mr. Chin, I didn't really care for him in this episode. I feel like he was making a lot of, like,
black
jokes. And I didn't think that
real
was funny.
It's just funny.
Oh, he touched your face. Like, when he shot the gun.
I've always wondered, like, how people would receive that. Like, if they would understand that he's, like, kind of trying to be down, or if, like, the whole being down would be, like, offensive to them, you know? That I had a situation that kind of happened to me like that. I was at church, my favorite church. I'm on
West Angeles. And we had a guest speaker come, and he was a white guest speaker, and my church is very all black, and it's like a huge church, right? And I know that he was nervous. I give him that. But he got up, and before he started preaching, he's like, I just want to say something to all of you that I've never said before.
Oh, no.
I apologize to all of you people.
No.
For everything that my people have done to you.
Oh, my God.
Ever gosh. In your lives.
How to make that awkward.
I was like, I'm serious. I feel like sometimes the baby Jesus wants me to be in situations because he knows that I'll tell the story. Like, he wants people to know that this happened. I literally sat there like,
I think that
might be. Like, you're just like,
oh, no, you didn't. You know, and a couple of people got up and applauded. I'm like, don't encourage that behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to apologize for like any gangbangers who are shooting you. Right. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not me. I didn't do that to you. It's not my, you know, I don't take that on. So don't like assume. First of all, I think it's like slightly racist in and of itself because you're basically assuming
that.
The way that we all think, that we are all these thousands of people in this church
white.
Are looking at you. Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
Okay. Did you guys see another show? When Hillary Clinton went on The Breakfast Club and she said something about
hot sauce
in her bag.
Oh, no.
I was like, come on.
I'm not in food with Hillary, so she messed that scripture up. So.
What? Oh, man.
Like, we not going to go there, okay? Like, survivor's worse.
What's going on? What's going on?
Right. Right. Can we talk about Cassie? I mean, not Cassie, but Mimi. I was really... Missy,
yes.
I was kind
yes.
of getting, how she was. You know, the... I don't know. I was a weird type of feeling I was getting from her character this episode.
What's the word? I'm insecure?
She's intense, right? She's, intense. She's kind of like stressed, it seems, a little bit.
She wants to be that good wife. Yeah. She wants to be that stepper wife. Or
well, that's the world. She says that's the world she's come from. That's her background, that type of, you know,
that's a
rich
lot of rules.
World,
that was a lot of rules.
You know,
rules.
And formal. Yeah, I mean, there's rules in business, you know, similar. You are supposed to send, you know, thank you cards and stuff like that. It was just a courtesy. Now, I think she went a little far? Of course. That's how she does.
But then, you know, like you said, with all the rules that she probably had to be raised with, and like if they came from somewhere. So I'm assuming she had a very overbearing stage mm-hmm. mom who was like, yeah. you know, no, don't do this. Sit up straight. Mm-hmm. Cross your legs. Keep your knees together. Like, you know, and that's enough to kind of make you crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think you either go the route that Missy went or you go the route that Erica went. And
I'm
you
with
just
you.
Rebel. Because my mother was very much like that. She, you know, she was very, very proper, you know, and everything sort of had its place. And, you know, you had to make sure you dressed a certain way and looked a certain way and always wear kempt and stand up straight and tuck your butt in. It's like, you know, and it kind of, it's a lot and it can be overwhelming. And I'm sure, like, parents don't do it to, like, drive you crazy.
Right.
But it drives you crazy.
It does.
So you either become them or you just become the complete opposite.
Right.
Ooh! Which I can quote, do you want to be who you are or be who you want to be? Shout out to the writers. Yeah. Matter of fact, it got deep when the mom went into the... Into therapy.
I was happy that they, because you know how I feel about, they give you a moment and they snatch it away.
Yes.
They didn't snatch it away, so I was into it. I was so
I
into
was like,
this moment.
This is about to get deep
because,
right here.
Yeah, like, I was really in there. I'm like, man, I'm liking this, because I just feel like this is a time for us to actually get to know your character and just
right.
see so many, yes. so much more dimensions to this person Ooh. That we didn't really learn a lot about in the first two seasons or so.
Right.
So this is like, oh, she's human. She's not just an angry woman. She's, not,
right.
she's human. So we're learning. So that moment for me was just really big to just like see this and not have them like snatch it out of my throat like
right.
with humor. It was like, I can bask in this moment.
Yeah. No, I felt the same way when I saw it. I was like, oh,
it got deep. Yeah. It got deep.
That was good.
So next episode is going to definitely be very interesting. I just remembered something from our season one panel. The amount of cussing that goes down on this show, we had a mixed feelings about that. As far as the cast, is that all improv, like, is that in the script? I mean,
no, you guys they have actually
a number of fucks that you can give.
No, they count fucks. They definitely count fucks. Okay. And that's kind of like a going joke on the show. Like, if somebody is in the heat of the moment and they say a curse word, Mike's like, listen, we're counting fucks. You know, that's just one fuck too many.
That's one.
We already got, like, the script is full of them. Okay, yeah. You can't add your own. And then sometimes it's like, you know, we like it, the ones that are in there are written in there.
Oh. Well.
And I think that under different circumstances I might have a problem with it, but that's who this family is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
They just picked up and moved to a different spot, but that's how they relate to one another. And I oddly don't think it's superfluous use of cursing. You know, like some people just, you know, F-ing, I don't think, I think that this is just kind of how they talk.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Boston. Mm-hmm. And I'm Lord. Okay. So, I'm not that much of a cusser. I guess
I don't think it's a Boston
word.
Thing either. No. I literally just think it's a Callaway thing. And I've read,
gotcha.
The energy of this family and the feeling of this family, I think it's just their thing. I've read scripts and I've honestly thought, seriously, does every word have to be a curse word?
Right.
But for this family, I think it just works.
It does. Okay. It fits. Yeah. It kind of almost reminds me of some of my family members. It's like, oh, I kind of feel like I'm at home.
Right.
All these fucks.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, I think when I hear it, it's not as grating to my ear because they're not emphasizing it. And it's not like, you know, they're not, like, making the word stand out. It's just, like, right. saying the or mm-hmm. and. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it kind of, like, it literally becomes, like, I forget about how much cursing there is in the script.
It's natural now.
I mean, 90% of it is your character.
My,
so,
so as far as you in general, is there anything that you are working on now? Anything that we can expect from you? Let us know the details.
Yes. Well, I just heard a little birdie say.
Talk to us. What's up? What's up?
Real Husbands is going to be coming out October 11th.
Yeah. Bridget!
And Bridget is back.
Bridget!
Yes.
I'm
surprise.
I remember the first time I'm like, who is, if that was my wife, oh my gosh, I would go crazy. And then when I found out that was you, I was like, oh, okay, there you go.
Have you ever ran into Kevin Hart's wife?
I did. The very first time, I was like, ha-ha, white flag, legendary. So that character, I didn't even know you. I've never seen any footage of you. I just, that really is something that I just came up with out of my head.
Because
I didn't want her to think that I thought that that was how she is. Mm-hmm. And she's definitely a strong woman, but she's, to me, how I've, you know, encountered her is completely different than
right
she, you know,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm
like she's direct,
yeah,
which I appreciate because I'm a direct person, and you know, she seems like a person that doesn't take much mess.
Mm-hmm.
Which
that's
I
good
think is fair, you know,
right.
So yeah, but yes, no, we actually had a really, really great couple of conversations, and we've actually spoken on the phone a couple of times, and she's invited me to different events, like charity events and stuff, and she's really, really cool. I like
her. Yeah, she is. She's
yeah
nice.
Really, really great, you know, great lady. So yeah. So
we're
high
in the
house. Oh, and also look out for Gina the Joneses. That's my film.
Oh.
And it's
what's that movie about?
Gina the Joneses is about a dysfunctional family of Jamaican women who...
Really? What?
Shout
yeah
out to the
that's dope.
Caribbeans, okay.
They get some
like
representation.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
They just can't seem to get it together in relationships, not only with men, but with amongst themselves as well. And it's really good. We're doing really, really great in the film festival circuit. We were accepted to the ABFF, mm-hmm, which we actually passed on because we got accepted into the TIFF festival, TIFF,
okay,
which is really, really amazing. That's a huge festival. It happens in Canada. So we're going to be doing that in the fall, in September.
Oh,
and then I believe we're landing at TV One. So look out for it.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Exciting, yes.
Yeah.
I'll be watching.
Thank yes you.
So all you grosters out there, that's my
that was your Jamaican.
I'm so.
We're going to put that one back in the bag.
I tried that.
Come back.
Make sure y'all look out for that there, okay?
Yes.
It's been great having you on. Was there anything that you guys wanted to ask her before she dips out?
I wanted to commend you on your body. I got something to say to that too, we've been talking and you look amazing. I've noticed it. I know my male analysts have noticed it.
She didn't answer whether she's dating anybody or not, so
yeah,
we,
so, for real, so are you dating,
keeping that on the low.
Don't worry, I'll meet you in
now
the
queue. Now she's
asleep. Now she's asleep. Right.
Sister Erica. That's my defense mechanism. Erica. All set and everything. Every time somebody says something, I want to talk about.
No, but we enjoy your character. I know you're one of my favorite characters. I love how raw you are on the show, and I love how you just say it like it is, and you give us the laughs. And you know, our Uncle Julius is gone, so
So expect some more from me. I'll definitely keep doing that. And as far as that health and fitness thing, that's a really big platform of mine, and that's something that's very near and dear to me. So thank you for saying that. Thank you for noticing. And I leave tips and stuff on my on my social media, so follow me.
Just at the Erica Ash. Make sure you Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I got one question for you. I follow my man Jesse on Snapchat, right? You know, so I be bored, I be chilling. All right, okay, Jesse, what's up? And every time he comes across you, he says, "You brought your friend."
Oh!
What does that mean?
He drives me crazy. He's talking about my butt.
The ass.
He'll like I'll be talking or like my own business.
I don't know. If
and then the next thing I know, I turn around. Like he's got like a camera on my butt, and he'll be saying, "Erica brought your friend." And I end up like he like does it just to like get under my skin. Cause like, and then I'll end up chasing him around the house. And we're like, we literally act like 5-year-olds. But he does it, and I'll catch him like all the time in the middle of it.
Do you guys notice, and I noticed this episode, the camera guy are getting good butt shots of everyone.
I was going to say some, but I don't want to be that guy. I've been talking way too much about ass.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was like a criteria for the actresses or what.
Well, like, they did a great
Tiana, Erica,
casting job.
She,
I'm saying.
They literally like get up
they
in
all
there.
Brought their friends.
Erica,
you got your friend.
Only one that time. That's what's up. Once again, thank you for coming on the show. Guys, make sure you follow her at the Erica Ash all across the board, social media. It's been great. Wish you all types of luck. I can't wait to see how your character develops along.
Thank you very much.
Have to keep in touch, of course.
Definitely.
Come back.
Season
finale.
Thank you guys so much.
And if you guys have any questions for her, of course, make sure you comment in the comment section. Of course, like and share this. Me, I'm your boy Jimmy V. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Be Your Own Dad. Holla at me.
And you know, it's your girl, Trine. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Your Girl Trine. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaprentice Lynn with 2 N's.
And of course, I am Gary Thomas on everything.
One last thing for the people.
It's your girl. Thank you guys so much for supporting. Please, please continue to support. We are here because you are there. Thank you.
This is Survivor's Remorse. We are out.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.